Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm gonna find her.
A white kid listens to black blues and grows up to become an elite critic who jams with Ornette Coleman and numbers Bono among his fans. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, the life and work of critic and author Robert Palmer. And a bit later, the bass baritone Sir Willard White joins us to talk about going from the son of a dock worker in Kingston, Jamaica, to the stage of the Metropolitan Opera. But first, Robert Palmer was 11, living in Little Rock, Arkansas, when he heard this record, Searchin', by the Coasters, and he used to say he never got over it. In college, he was the only white musician in an otherwise all-black band that played almost entirely in black joints. Several years later, Robert had become the chief pop music critic for the New York Times and gathered admirers like the U2 frontman Bono, as well as Yoko Ono and Mick Jagger. He was also a blues producer and the author of Deep Blues. But Palmer was a difficult man whose ambitions and addictions often overshadowed loved ones. Here to talk about the man and his work is Anthony DeCurtis, contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine and editor of the new book, Blues and Chaos, The Music Writing of Robert Palmer. Anthony, welcome back.
I'm so happy to be here.
So we just heard on the news, you know, the New York Times in financial straits, and if the Times, as the Times goes, the whole, you know, the whole
publishing industry,
everybody who is a critic now is looking kind of dicey out there. I mean, you know, in terms of hanging on to a job, could we have had a Robert Palmer in the early 21st century?
I mean, that's a very interesting question. You know, those kinds of hugely influential writing positions, you know, seem to be becoming rarer and rarer. You know, Bob was really in the tradition of critics who used their position as a kind of advocate. You know, I mean, he was somebody who championed, you know, downtown punk rock in New York, championed avant-garde music, and of course all the blues and blues-related music that he loved, and really turned people on to that music, you know, who might otherwise never have encountered it. You know, who does that job now? You know,
well, thousands of people do.
Well,
job
they do.
Now.
Everybody. Yeah, thousands of people do it for like five people each.
Right, right. So what is Robert Palmer to us now? Is he a dinosaur? Is he, you know, a vestige of a bygone era, or is there still something relevant about this character?
Well, I must say, and the way that every project, you know, every project that has to do with the past also reflects the present. I did make certain selections in this book just to demonstrate the kind of thing that once was possible in publications. You know, these kind of long, interesting, intricate pieces. I mean, Bob's writing is very accessible, but he was pretty uncompromising. I mean, there wasn't a kind of sense that this is being done because, you know, it's what's happening this minute.
And, or because an editor assigned him to
yeah,
do it.
Right, certainly not that. As his editor at the end of his life, I could attest to that. But
did you ever try and assign him something that he didn't want to cover?
Yeah, and he was always – Bob was very polite. You know, in a lot of ways, he was a kind of southern gentleman, you know. And he would be – I mean, I remember I wanted to assign him a piece about production. I thought, well, this guy's produced records. You know, he's just the smartest guy I know. Why not get him to write something about what's happening in production? And he goes, yeah, Anthony, as far as I'm concerned, you know, production kind of reached its peak in about 1958. You know, I mean, he loved the sound of the Chess records and the Sun records, and, you know, he had no interest in that. But that would have been his way of saying, not on your life. I'm never going to do that.
All right. Now, as you say, he saw himself as an advocate. Did he write criticism? I mean, did he write critical pieces? Because he seems to have gathered a lot of friends in a field where most writers gathered enemies.
Well, I think Bob's inclination was to kind of ignore the things that he didn't like. You know, as we were just saying, it wasn't necessarily easy for, you know, to get him to do something he didn't want to do. And so he gravitated towards the things that he did like. And so, yes, he had the reputation that if he wrote about you, he was going to write about you positively because that's why he was writing about you. He was writing to make a case. He wasn't writing because, oh, okay, Tuesday, this is the band that's playing down the street and I've got to go cover them. You know, that I think he very much tried to avoid doing that as much as he could.
We're talking about the late Robert Palmer, hugely influential writer in the music world, especially in the fields of rock, jazz, blues. The book is called Blues and Chaos.
Yes.
Why?
As John Perella's at the time, whom Palmer hired, said to me, he goes, oh, because it's the perfect title, Bob's Two Favorite Things. And it's a line from a piece about why I wear my mojo hand, which is, a mojo hand's a lucky charm. Mm-hmm. And Bob loved the way that, music and a lot of the forces connected to it were uncontrollable. And so he talks about producing a record by R.L. Burnside and, getting
the North Mississippi guy.
Yes, exactly. And getting an ideal performance that when they play the tape back just wasn't there. And so Bob went out, these kinds of things kept going wrong. So Bob went out and got himself a mojo hand. And so suddenly everything started going right for him. But for everybody else involved with the project, the chaos persisted. And, he talks in this book about, in one of the pieces in the book, actually, that ran in the Times about Sun Ra, the great jazz musician, talking to Sun Ra and having the lights go out, like right in the middle of the interview. And this was the kind of, this was part of his world. I mean, in a lot of ways, as much as Bob was a musicologist, he was also a great believer in all of the myths that surround this music. And, he got both of those things. He got the hard facts and he got all the mystery as well.
We're speaking with Anthony DeCurtis, who is the editor of the new book, Blues and Chaos, the music writing of Robert Palmer. Chaos, uncontrollable forces. You could just as easily be talking about the man himself.
Well, his life, certainly. Bob, I don't know if struggled with addictions would be the proper way to say it. Bob was addicted to drugs, pretty much throughout his life. And that was, an issue for him. It was something he never particularly discussed with me, I have to say. Although he did allude to having... that one time we were talking on the phone, he had left the Times and was living back down south, and he told me that his doctor was Dr. Nick, who was Elvis's doctor, of course. And I said, your doctor is Dr. Nick? And he goes, well, Anthony, you could talk to Dr. Nick about things that you can't talk to other doctors about. And that was about as far as he ever got into all that with me. But, it was something that he struggled with. But, Bob lived the way musicians live. He was in a band, the Insect Trust, played with Ornette Coleman. And I think that's one of the reasons that musicians liked him was that, he kind of moved in the worlds that they moved. And, for better, well, certainly for worse, I suppose, the drug world was one of those worlds.
Now, at the same time that you were putting together this collection of his writings, his daughter, Augusta, was
yes.
putting together a new documentary. I mean, he basically left her with her mother to raise her.
Yes, for the first 12 years of her life, yeah.
He was kind of a serial husband, one wife after another.
Yeah, very true.
How much did he have a personal life? I mean, did his work allow him time to do anything more than just these kind of hit-and-run marriages?
I think his work was part of it. His drug problems were part of it. Bob was somebody who I think was very gripped by the things he did. Now, I mean, let me say, I have a 4-year-old daughter. It's hard for me to leave her for the weekend, if I have to go travel for work. So the idea of walking away from, your young daughter, it's inconceivable to me. But, Bob was a young, ambitious guy in the South. And I think, around the time that happened, that his wife gave birth, I think, he saw, it was a decision that a musician might make, like I'm hitting the road, mm-hmm. And I think, he traveled. Eventually, you know, he and Augusta, you know, reconnected. But it was, you know, it's a hard go. And the film does reflect that, I have to say. It's a very powerful documentary.
And it's showing tonight here in New York at Anthology Film Archive. It's the New York premiere of Augusta Palmer's documentary about her late father. It's called The Hand of Fatima.
Yes.
And you'll be doing a book signing.
Yeah. Bashir Attar from the Master Musicians of Jijuka, whom in many ways Bob helped introduce to the Western world in the early 70s. Bashir will be there, and I will be there, and Augusta will be there, and we'll be signing books.
Now, for a guy who is known for writing about blues, rock, jazz too, the Master Musicians of Jijuka from the Atlas Mountains of Morocco, this seems to have been a lifelong obsession of Robert Palmer's. This is some of the music that caught his ear and really never let go. From the mountains of Morocco, the hypnotic sounds of the Master Musicians of Jijuka. Anthony DeCurtis, you mentioned Bashir Attar. He is, for many years now, the leader of the Master Musicians of Jijuka.
Yes.
But back when this recording was made by Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, the Master Musicians of Jijuka were unknown outside of a small circle of friends and, I suppose, really hardcore Rolling Stones devotees who would follow Brian Jones wherever he went. How did Robert Palmer, the music critic, become involved in this music?
Well, one of the other groups of people who were interested in this kind of, essentially a kind of trance music that was being made by the Master Musicians of Jijuka, was William Burroughs. And William Burroughs and Brian Gysin, Brian who invented the cut-up technique, among other things, were very, very interested in this music. And I think Bob discovered it through them, you know.
So it was a writer's connection.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, I mean, I think Bob's favorite group, because they were so blues-oriented in the early days, were the Rolling Stones. So he certainly would have known about the Brian Jones record. In fact, he reviewed it in Rolling Stone. So, you know, I think all, you know, forces came together, you know, both literary and musical and spiritual, really, to lead Bob to Morocco, where, I mean, in the book, I must say, those are among the most astounding pieces, about his travels and experiences with the Master Musicians of Jijuka. I mean, they're just jaw-dropping.
And the cover photo of the book is actually him. That's him in Morocco, right?
Yes,
with the two pan flutes in his mouth.
Precisely, yes.
The book is called Blues and Chaos, The Music Writing of Robert Palmer, edited by my guest Anthony DeCurtis, who was Robert Palmer's editor for some time when he was writing for Rolling Stone.
Yeah, pretty much for the last, 5 or 6 years of his life.
So how did you, I mean, the guy was prolific, not only in what he wrote about, but in the amount that he produced. So how did you put this together? Was this kind of a daunting
task? It was daunting. It was daunting both in terms of the range of things that he wrote about, everyone from Charlie Patton to the Master Musicians of Jijuka. To Philip Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Covering that range and trying to put together what would amount to a complete portrait was hard. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, especially with the book industry the way it is now, it might have been easier to just do, you know, the rock and roll and blues version of Bob and stuff that everybody knows. But one of the best compliments I feel like that the book has gotten was from one of Bob's friends, who says that in many ways, Blues and Chaos, this book represents a more straightforward presentation of Bob's work than his own books do. You know, and I that was the goal in a lot of ways. You know, that was the goal.
Anthony, you mentioned Charlie Patton, and in his seminal book, Deep Blues, Robert Palmer argued that Charlie Patton should be considered the king of the Delta Blues, not Robert Johnson. Why do you suppose, was he just being contrary, or did he have that kind of streak?
Well, he had a, you know, it wasn't so much contrarian as, you know, in the, one of the musicians that Bob knew pretty well was Robbie Robertson.
From the band.
Yes, from the band, who said that, you know, he'd never met anyone in whom a love of music was more palpable than Bob Palmer. And one of the things about Bob is that even as he was polite and pretty soft-spoken, is that he was very sure about his opinions. You know, he would speak to you, very graciously, but there wasn't a kind of sense of, you know, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about this. It was more like, oh, you're interested in Indian music? Let me give you a little lecture here. You know, it's a very genial one. But, because he was not pretentious. It was just, this is what I happen to know about this. And, you know, I think that certainly when blues, Deep Blues came out in 1981, you know, Charlie Patton was not as well-known a figure as...
As Robert Johnson, for sure.
As Robert Johnson, to be sure. And I think Bob felt like his job was a kind of job of advocacy to bring this great music forward.
Robert Palmer claimed that Charlie Patton was the real king of the Delta Blues. Charlie Patton in High Water Everywhere, one of the great Delta bluesmen, and in his book Deep Blues, the late Robert Palmer claimed that he should have been called the king of the Delta Blues, not Robert Johnson. Robert Palmer's music writing collected in a new book called Blues and Chaos, edited by my guest, Anthony DeCurtis, who's doing a book signing tonight at Anthology Film Archive during the New York premiere of Robert Palmer's daughter's documentary, Augusta Palmer's documentary about her dad called The Hand of Fatima. And then on Monday at Le Poisson Rouge, you and Augusta are hosting this big concert.
And Bashir Attar as well.
From the Master Musicians
exactly.
of Jujuka with Lenny Kaye and...
And Bashir and the Kropotkins.
And this is all at Le Poisson Rouge.
Yes, exactly. It'll be a great, long, fun night of music and a tribute to Bob.
Ken Brown from New Jersey leaves this comment on the soundcheck page of our website. I worked with Robert Palmer in the early 80s. He was one of the writers contributing to a book on what's now called world music, but which we were calling global pop, Palmer's term. I was the editor, Ken writes. One evening, I went to his apartment in Park Slope to hand back his manuscript with my comments. Although he told me he'd be home, there was no answer when I rang the bell. I could hear music inside, but repeated rings of the bell didn't open the door, so I left the manuscript on his doorstep and left. He called me later that night and said, hey, you should have come in. Keith Richards and I were just listening to old records.
Well, that would have been Bob. Absolutely.
So he's hanging out with, and you mentioned he was a big Rolling Stones fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the kind of the blues ethos, at least at the beginning of a lot of those English bands, you know, white kids trying to play the blues.
Oh, yeah.
And it became this other thing. And one of the things, one of the interesting articles that you do include in the book is Bob Palmer writing about, you know, the early roots of rock in blues, and especially Bo Diddley.
Yeah.
He wrote that Bo Diddley was not just that
Bo Diddley rhythm.
Yes.
It's more than that.
Well, and one of the things, I mean, one of the things that Bob was so great about is, and you know, I think, you know, this is a function of, I think, being a white kid going up in the South and having the revelation of hearing great black music. He hated whenever anybody condescended to any aspect of this music. And so, you know, the idea that people would dismiss Bo Diddley as this kind of one-note guy just drove him crazy. And in the liner notes to a Bo Diddley box set, which are included in the book, he breaks down that rhythm. And, you know, this was Bob's kind of theory of music, that in that rhythm, there were universes of meaning. You
There's
know,
like a DNA of a
yes,
whole culture.
Yes, precisely. And, you know, he believed that.
Can't judge apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a daughter by looking at the mother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. Oh, can't you see? Judge the book by looking at the cover.
You can't judge a book by its cover, Bo Diddley. And the liner notes to the chess box set of 1990 by the late Robert Palmer, one of the music writings in the new book, Blues and Chaos, edited by my guest, Anthony DeCurtis. So, Anthony, we started by talking about how there doesn't seem to be a place in the current media landscape for a Robert Palmer these days. He died in 1997. He was 52. He was waiting for a liver transplant. Didn't get it in time, obviously. Has anyone stepped into... I mean, what is his legacy in the current media landscape?
Well, I think his legacy is that, you know, your passions... can drive you, you know. I think that, and that you don't. I mean, I think that so much now, particularly with internet culture, is, you know, you like this kind of music. Well, then you read this blog, you go to this place, you find out about this type of music. Whereas Bob was a musical polymath. I mean, if it was great, he wanted to know about it. And that idea,
and he didn't want to be limited to 140 characters in a tweet.
Precisely. You know, the idea that music could be a route of transcendence, a way of really achieving great deep meaning in your life. I think that's what his writing represents. And, you know, whether or not anybody can ever replace him, I don't know. But, I mean, that's an important message.
Anthony DeCurtis, contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine and editor of Blues and Chaos, the music writing of Robert Palmer. Always great to have you on the show, Anthony. Good
oh,
to
great
see you again.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for this.
And up next, Robert Palmer was known for identifying great new music. We'll do our best to imitate him as we highlight three new releases in our Picks of the Week. And then later, a visit from this Jamaican-born operatic bass baritone, Sir Willard White, joins us to talk about his role in a new production of the Janáček opera From the House of the Dead.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
When I discovered the book Deep Blues, I remember thinking how people might forget what a common name Robert Palmer was and confuse this authoritative blues writer with the expert rock critic up in New York. Clearly, they couldn't be the same guy. Could they?
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.